The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
Guys, we got the dates for 2023 locked, maybe a couple more added. San Diego, California. I'll be back at the La Jolla Comedy Store October 20th through the 22nd. Salt Lake City, I'll be headed your way October 27th and 28th. Batavia, Illinois, November 10th and 11th. And closing out the year at Cobb's in San Francisco, California, December 8th and 9th. Get all tickets at ryansickler.com. I'm excited to announce that my special, Lefty Son, is now available as an audio album. Go check it out everywhere you get music. I'm very excited to announce that the Honeydew video is now available on Spotify. It doesn't change anything for you at all. It's just an additional place to watch the Honeydew. Go check out the Honeydew audio and video now available on Spotify.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I am Ryan Sickler, ryansickler.com, and Ryan Sickler on all your social media. I want to say thank you. Thank you to everyone who subscribes to this show. Thank you to everyone who supported my special. If you haven't seen it, go watch it on my YouTube, Lefty Son. And look, if you got to have more, then you got to check out our Patreon. Our Patreon is the Honeydew with y'all, and y'all have the wildest stories. It never ends. All right. We've talked to a dude who had a double lung transplant. We've talked to people who've solved cold cases, people who've had two pussies, three asses. Like, we have talked, we've run the gamut here. Okay. A lot of things going on with y'all out there. And, you got to check it out. It's $5 a month. If you or someone you know has one of these wild stories that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Hopefully we get to do an episode together. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to, I'm telling you, go listen to my old podcast, The Crab Feast. It's a 7.5 year library, audio only, and it's everyone you know and love in podcasting. They're all there with different great stories. All right. Come see me on tour if I'm in your city when you're around. Let's see. We got Phoenix, Arizona, September 29th and 30th. We're coming to La Jolla, October 20th to the 22nd. I'll be in Salt Lake City, October 27th and 28th. Batavia, Illinois, November 10th, the 11th. And San Francisco, closing out the year, December 8th through the 9th. All tickets are available at ryansickler.com. Now, that's the biz. You guys know what we're doing over here. We're highlighting the lowlights. I always say these stories are the stories behind the storytellers, and I'm very excited to have this guest back on here. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Tom Segura. Welcome back to the Honeydew, Tom Segura.
Good to be back. Good to be back. I like the new studio,
man. You're like a son to me, man. Thank you.
You're like a son to me, man.
Thank you. Will you please, I'm looking at the scar on your arm. Let me look at that for a second. That's fucking long, dude. It's longer.
And then there's another one.
That's, oh, that's not connected all the way? No, oh, that's two scars. You should bridge it, bro. Yeah.
And then there's another one there.
You should definitely do it. Put a little bridge.
Right. Tiniest little bridge.
Like a Key West bridge
going on over there. I might have another surgery coming up.
Why?
Because there's still a nerve issue in here. It's in the groove of the bicep.
And so, what, is it painful?
Yeah, it's painful when I do certain things. Basically, if I was like, I don't care to do any activities, I wouldn't do it. But I'm pretty active and I do a bunch of different things and I get it fired up when I do them. And he was like, how important is it for you to address? I was like, yeah, I would like to do these things without pain.
Yeah, without pain.
Yeah.
I have this whole new thing since the surgery down my neck, into my shoulder, down my right arm, and down into my right shoulder blade.
It's all
numbness and pain.
And that all originates from the spine. Because everything.
Of course it does. That spinal surgery got all fucked up.
Arm and hand stuff, shoulder stuff, it's all from the spine.
So the spinal surgeon's like, we're going to do your lumbar MRI and we'll do a neurological one on that area back there. Blue Shield Silver, go fuck yourself, has denied that MRI.
They have?
Completely denied it. So the surgeon's like, don't worry, we'll do a peer-to-peer with them. We'll get it cleared. They fucking flat out denied the peer-to-peer, said, I have to appeal it. I have to go through this whole process just to appeal a doctor's professional suggestion. I get an MRI to see why I'm in pain. And I'm assuming it's because probably like you, in January, I was out of pocket and everything was covered. You know what I mean? And now they're doing everything they can not to cover that shit.
Sure, of course.
You know, like, we're in August. Let's see if we can't bleed this till January.
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably what it is.
It's a whole science of...
My scar is longer than I thought it would be, but that's a while. Will that get any better over time?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you know, when at first they gave you this, like, they have like a state-of-the-art silicone gel that you're supposed to put on your scar like every day.
To what? Make it like...
It reduces like the way that, you know, the
cocoa butter do the same thing.
The look, yeah. And I did it like twice. I was like, whatever. I don't care.
I wouldn't care. Yeah.
I mean, every time somebody, like when people are like, what's that scar from? I always go like two tours, Afghanistan.
Yeah. You know? And I just...
They're like, really? Like,
yeah. No. All right, let's get into what we're going to talk about. Before we do, plug everything, please. Whatever you want.
Special Sledgehammer, the newest ones on Netflix. What else? I mean, there's podcasts every week on the YMH Studios YouTube channel. And
you got new ones out right now, First Date.
We launched First Date. We launched Not Today, Pal.
That's right.
We got a couple other ones coming that haven't announced yet. Yeah. And then, I'm doing dates, but like just a few here and there. I'll announce a 2024 tour.
You are going to go back on tour?
Yeah, but I'm going to do it like, I'm going to announce it like probably in November. And it's something that'll start in like late January, February, something like that. And go through the spring. Nothing like the last one though.
No?
Well, I might tour for a few years on it, but I'm not going to do it as aggressively.
Every week?
No.
Yeah, that's crazy, dude.
It's fucking stupid.
Well, I want to talk to you because you and I have only talked a little bit about it, but I really do want to talk to you about your dad's passing and what's, you know, where you're at with that now and stuff, because you are gone nonstop.
Yeah.
And I know like it goes back to, at least for you and I, we were talking about when your dad was sick. I believe at the time he was going to Minnesota. Was there some clinics he was going to see him?
Yeah. So the funny thing was.
Is that like when it started?
He was trying to get all the timing right. He was diagnosed in 2018, the day, like the week before he retired. Like, yeah, he worked for 44 years, whatever. And then we had his retirement party. Like, he had all these people came in town that, like, he knew and family. And then the day after his retirement party was his first chemo treatment. So that was, yeah.
But when did he find out he had it? When did they give him the notice?
A little bit before the official retirement. And then they're like, you need to get on chemo. And they started chemo the day. So he's like, time to start retirement. And day one was chemo. So that was pretty, like, he was like, you're like, because all he was like talking about leading up to retirement was like the things he wants to do.
And
he's like, can't wait to be retired. I'm going to go spend time with my grandkids, travel. He had this fucking, he would say the same thing to me like in the months leading up. He was like, your mother and I are very excited about this next chapter. And I was like, I was like, what are you going to do? He's like, you know, your mother's never seen Vermont, Maine, the Grand Canyon. And I was like, does she give a fuck about that? And
your mom didn't give a fuck about defining things like.
I was like,
I sat next to her at that dinner. She wanted chicken nuggets.
Yeah. She was. So he goes, you know, what we'll do is we'll just get in the car and we'll just drive. And there's no schedule. So we can just stop somewhere and spend the night at like a Red Roof Inn and then Just drive. I go, you're going to put this so 70 fucking 4-year-old woman just on road trips? So here's the thing. He was sold on it as like, this is an awesome plan. And then one day he's told me about this like 20 times. I'm like sitting with my mom and he's over here. And I go, are you really like, you're excited about all these road trips? Like you're going to just be on the road driving for months seeing fucking Vermont? And she was like, what? And he goes, yeah, you know, I'll show you all these places. She was like, I don't want to do this.
You never told her the idea?
He's like, well, I just thought.
I thought I'd take her hostage. Yeah. That's what he thought.
And then she's like, what about the dogs? He's like, we'll find places that can. She goes, I don't want to do a road trip every day. Like that's, he was just talking about going out for like 6 months.
In a car,
yeah,
too. Not
in
a Winnebago.
No, no, no. Yeah, yeah. Just like sit there. Sit on the highway, park, sleep, and then he's like, here's Maine.
Here's Maine.
She just like, oh, cool. She doesn't give a fuck about that.
Charles don't give a fuck
no
about
way,
Maine.
Dude. Seeing any of those places. She's a horrible traveler.
By the way, real quick, I have to say this. I couldn't get a picture of her. They wouldn't let it happen or anything. She was very protective, but not the real, let me take it back. The earlier Charo was on my flight. You know, whatever.
Really?
Charo, the first one. Not
you tried
your
to
mom.
Take a picture of her?
Everyone was trying to get a little picture with her. They're like, no. And I was like, oh, God, please let me get this Charo
no
picture.
Shit.
But I couldn't get a Charo.
Recently?
Picture. Yeah, just like a few months ago.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
I wonder which one will die first between two Charos. I can't believe they're both still around.
Weigh in, everybody. Who's dying first?
The Charo
first
Charo.
Yeah. I bet you the other Charo would have loved that dinner you fucking took us to. Your mother hated that.
Just
shit.
To give people some, like,
I like Chick-fil-A.
We took her to a Michelin 3-star. This is the type of restaurant where if you're following the Michelin guide, they're saying it's worth it. To take a trip.
If you're taking a road trip with your dad,
yeah,
it's worth it to veer off on the way to Maine.
They're saying it's worth to make a trip just to eat here.
Yeah.
Just to eat here.
Yes.
And it was like, I mean, it was an experience, right? It was an experience.
Sick.
And everything she would just like take, and she goes, eat this. And like knock it onto your plate. And you're like, what the fuck?
No, she wouldn't do that. I would eat my plate and clean it. Then she would take my plate, put it in front of her, slide hers over, and make me look like a pig. And she then literally say to me, the least you could do is eat your food. My son is paying a lot of money for this.
She would say, psycho.
As they were taking my food, I'm like, you piece of shit.
Yeah, psycho. She's done that shit to me so many times where like, she goes, thank you so much. And then she just knocks it onto my plate. What do you do? She's like, eat it. I'm like, you eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, she wants fries, French fries, chicken fingers. She's like a toddler.
Yeah.
And then she'd Starburst. Sometimes
she eats them.
Yeah, if you go by in her bed in the like on the nightstand, you find like 16 Starburst wrappers. Like, the fuck did you ate those before bed? Yeah, she's like, I can't stop.
I can't stop. Yeah.
And then she eats bread, panettone, which is like that sweet Italian bread, or toast with jam. Woman
and
weighs
this fucking big.
She weighs,
I know,
you know, 115, I think. Hasn't gained weight since she got married 46, 47 years
That's
ago.
That's crazy.
It's really crazy. And then doesn't exercise. Doesn't take care of herself, doesn't eat anything like
nutritious
at all. And then she'll be like, I'm dieted. I'm like, yeah. I go, maybe try going for a walk. And she's like, I'll show you this year how I'm going to turn things around. I'm like, okay.
Turn them around. Yeah. She's in dire straits over there.
It's like always the same.
Yeah. So your dad's just goal was to just kind of chill then and just
He was so excited. He was so excited about it. There was the retirement party.
Did you ever talk to him about that? Like, fucking, you work your whole life.
Yeah.
And then,
I mean,
because the party, the retirement, we have a set date. We already know when that's happening. And then he gets the news before that.
It was because the retire. I remember it was November of 2018.
Is this like, in Florida?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Brother came in, sister came in. Nieces, nephews, cousins, friends, like people he worked with, you know, 30 years ago in Ohio, 25 years ago in Minneapolis, like all these people that were like in his life They all came in for this thing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was very cool. It was very cool. And then, yeah, then he starts chemo. But I had like pretty high hopes for the treatment. They said that like
the, what was his diagnosis?
Multiple myeloma.
And what is that?
I mean, it's a blood cancer.
So yeah. You, but is it curable for some people? Is it's that not, why you had high hopes?
No, it's not actually curable. And it also doesn't, it's not what kills you. You don't die from multiple myeloma. You okay. die from like other, you know.
Like what it causes your body.
Yeah, you end up having a heart attack or, you know, you get the flu, but like you don't actually die from multiple myeloma. So the big thing though that they try to get people to do with multiple myeloma is get a bone marrow transplant. And so like, you know, one of the best places to do this is the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota. It's one of the world's leading medical facilities. His brother was like a doctor there for 30 years or
also something. What is he the same brother that invented the Segura thing?
The Segura basket, yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy. When you told me that, I was like, stop. Yeah. Like, it does sound.
It sounds made up. I know.
What is a Segura basket?
Well, so now it's probably kind of dated, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that, but at the time, it was like a pretty state-of-the-art way to remove kidney stones.
Oh.
So he was a urologist.
Okay.
So yeah, if you look up Segura basket, it'll, you know, that's kind of like
that's your dad's brother.
That's my dad's brother. Yeah. My uncle Joe. And he was a like a world renowned urologist, like fly him to Italy to give a speech.
Really?
Kind of shit. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. And he was really bright. Yeah. And he invented that. If you meet a urologist and you say it, they'll be like, yeah, of course I know what a Segura basket is.
It'd be hilarious if in their world they all know your uncle and don't know you at all.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like Segura? Yeah. You know Segura? You see his last special. Like, what? You mean the basket that we piss in? Yeah.
You talking about the kidney stone guy? He's doing Cogni?
Yeah, in their world.
Tells jokes?
There's only one Segura, okay? It's Joe Segura.
I always think it's so funny too. Like I've talked about this extensively with like when a man's a gynecologist or a woman is a urologist. You're like, really?
Like a female prison guard at a male.
Like of all the things that came up in med school, yeah. You're trying to tell me nothing interested you more than dicks. Like there's, or like the male who's a gynecologist and you're like, are we all supposed to fucking fall for this? Like that your interest, you just care about the reproductive.
The vagina system. So much. You just want to help everyone out.
And then nothing. Yeah. Turned me into believing that it's nonsense than when I was like 16 and I hung out. So my high school friend's dad is friends with a gynecologist.
A male gynecologist
who's in his late 50s. He's got this like multi-million dollar house on the beach and he's having a party. It's like chicks hanging out. You know, he's got a gold chain, white hair. And I'm like this.
He's like, seen all their pussies.
Yeah.
What's up, Sharon?
Yeah. And there's like, those girls like making out and stuff. And we're like, oh, shit. We're teenagers, you know? So I'm like, I don't know. I talked to him for a minute. He's like on his grill. And I go, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah, what's up? I go, so how does your mind differentiate? I'm thinking I'm asking like a very clever question, I think, for a 16-year-old. Like this is a patient versus this is like a woman with her legs open. And he goes, he just flips a burger and he goes, pussy's pussy.
That's a doctor.
And I was like, okay. I was expecting like a.
Yeah, of course, some doctor shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Some medical explanation. Well,
pussy's pussy. I was like, very cool.
That's so absurd. I mean, I went to school for 8 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? Plus, also, though, let's look at it this way.
Yeah.
He might have been like, this is the best thing I can ever do. And then 3 years in, he'd be like, what the fuck did I do? And now he's got to do it. And he's just sick of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's sure. seen, he's not in there. I remember being in, I will never forget this. I feel even looking back as a grown man, I feel like it's so early.
Yeah.
I will never forget this. We're in middle school. It's like seventh, eighth grade.
Yeah.
And the TV show Hunter was on. Had Fred Dreyer, who used to play for the Chargers. He was like a cop in it. And had this attractive brunette that drove this Dodge Chrysler Laser. I can't remember what her name was, but she was pretty. And one of our friends Troy just out of nowhere just goes, man, I'd like to be her gynecologist. And we all start laughing, you know, but like, and then I think about it, like, first of all, that's very early, seventh grade, to say some shit like that. And then you start thinking about it over the years, because it's made me think, you're not seeing the best of the, you're seeing problems.
You're seeing problems.
Issues. You're seeing, like shit you might have only seen
problem
once.
Problem pussies is what you're seeing.
Problematic pussies.
Yeah. Yeah, and you're all up in them too.
You're fixing it.
Yeah, your face is right.
Your face
right
is
next
right
to
into the problematic pussies. Yes, you're not being like, oh, look at this. This is wonderful.
I went to this reception, this like honoring my uncle. Mm-hmm. When he was still alive, he died too.
He did as well.
Yeah, and then my dad's younger sister died.
All within how long?
Well, he died. Joe died like more than 10 years ago.
Oh, he went first?
Yeah.
Was he the oldest?
Yeah. Yes. And he had, what is it? Mesothelioma, I think. Mm-hmm. And he was exposed to
asbestos and all that working.
Yeah. I forget where he was that he was exposed. I mean, my dad was exposed, obviously, to Agent Orange and stuff in Vietnam.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
My aunt Anne was she went from diagnosis to dying in like 90 days.
Get the fuck of what?
She had a form of leukemia. Didn't like she was just like, I feel tired. Like she went on a walk.
I feel tired every day.
Yeah, she's like, I feel like really tired. And they just ran a bunch of tests and they're like, you have stage 4. Like you're, you know, this is take her in. And it's during COVID, so like family can't, you know, they start like keeping people.
No.
Yeah. Dies like in
what do you do? Months. You get 90 days. Do you just not take the chemo and live it out? Or do you try to go get the chemo and extend it a little longer?
Knowing what I know now, see what I've seen, I'd probably just go home.
And just let it
take if it. I was that far along, yeah.
Stage 4, I mean.
Yeah, it's bad.
90 days. What are we going to get out of that? Even if we do chemo, another 2 months of horrible not quality at all.
Yeah, no, no. Dude, but this, I have to tell you this, that I'm at this reception. I'm like,
Pussy's the last thing.
That's when I was 16.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm 24 mm-hmm. and I'm at this thing for my uncle and there's all these urologists and like my family's there. And then they go, and I have that thought about when an opposite gender, their specialty is the genitals of the other person. And they go, this is Dr. So-and-so, this woman. And, you know, I go, oh, yeah, what kind of, what's your specialty? She's like, oh, I'm a urologist. And I go, so you like dicks? And my cousin goes, Tommy, like that. And my dad's over here and he goes, like, shakes his head. He's like, don't do that. And I go, I'm sorry. So the lady kind of laughs and she's like, I go, okay.
I love him.
I love him. I go, all right, I'm sorry about that. I go, but what's like the biggest flaccid one that you've held? And she's like, and they just start laughing and then she won't tell me.
She wouldn't?
She wouldn't tell me. No.
It had to be that big. It had to be an elephant fucking trunk or something.
Yeah.
Flaccid.
I'll bet he was
old too.
I think so. Yeah.
Probably in his late 70s, just fucking just tired of it. Like, here, this is what I'm dealing with over here.
This thing's causing me more problems than you would believe.
No one's touching
I got dick problems.
It's a horse dick.
Yeah.
You know who you can put it with in these problematic pussies over here. That's what you should be doing.
A big one over here, too. That guy with the big horse, the older guy, he's got to have, what's it called? He's got to have a, like a fedora. I feel like a guy with that, he's got a fedora. He's like, let me take my hat off.
Set that down.
Set that down.
On my dick.
Just set it right on his dick out here.
All right. So your dad.
Yeah.
Back to your dad.
So he starts chemo day after
the
big part.
And then the big thing is like they're in Florida. He's got all these ties to the Mayo Clinic. His brother, my uncle's daughter, also a doctor at the Mayo Clinic. And he knows like it's world renowned, like, you know, it's like the best of the best are at the Mayo Clinic. Fucking Saudi kings fly to the Mayo Clinic.
Is that right?
Yeah.
The one in Minnesota?
Yeah. So he's consulting with them, being treated in Florida, and then, okay, we're going to do a bone marrow transplant. So historically, people who get bone marrow transplants with multiple myeloma get a minimum of a 5-year life extension.
Okay.
So it's and sometimes they keep living. You know, Tom Brokaw has multiple myeloma.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it doesn't go away. Like it does. It's not.
Oh, you even just when you remission. Replace the bone marrow,
no, it you get in remission, but you still are
genetically
you have
predisposed to this shit. Okay.
So he goes up there and like, you know, when you have, I mean, you had major surgery, they're like, we're doing this. There's a 1% chance that like this can go wrong.
This is what they told me. This is, yes, I'm the, yes, completely understand.
He gets his bone marrow transplant, goes into septic shock. Codes.
He did?
Yeah. Heart stops for 20 minutes.
Dad's heart stopped for 20
minutes. 20 minutes they do CPR. I mean, they told me later, they go CPR at another medical facility or like a EMT or something, they go, they would have stopped at like 7 to 12 minutes or something, you know, like, mm-hmm. But they did it for 20 minutes at the Mayo Clinic.
How?
I mean, they just.
The machine's just breathing for you and his heart stopped?
Heart stopped and they just keep trying to revive him. They were trying to revive him for 20 minutes.
And they brought him back?
They brought him back. Yeah.
Did you talk before he passed? Did you talk to him about anything? That's a long time.
We talked a lot about. So when he's there and this is before, I think this is before.
Dude, I can't imagine coming to and someone being like, you died for 20 minutes.
Dude.
And then hearing that as the person.
He also didn't remember this huge chunk of time because when he went into like septic shock, you know, like your body shuts down. And he was like, I went and visited him at one point and, you know, like his eyes moved and he was like mouthing something, but he had tubes in and he didn't seem like 100% there. And they're like, oh yeah, he doesn't know like really what's going on or have much reference for what's happening, where he is, any of that shit. And that time he also like, when I, on that trip, I'm visiting him at the Mayo Clinic. It's 2019. It's like March of 2019. And he has like, his stomach has filled up with fluid. Like just his body is like distended stomach. Like he's in this bed and I'm like, why is his stomach so big? And they're like, oh, fluid is just building up. So doing like stomach draining. It's crazy. And like, I don't know, there's 20 tubes. Like, you know, you're seeing like, what is this exiting out of this tube? It's like black, you know, like just all kinds of things going on with him sideways. And that's when like one of the doctors pulled me aside and he was like, hey man,
pussy's pussy.
Pussy's
pussy.
I'm
sorry.
And I was like, you're the second doctor that said that. He's like, I've been looking at it
like,
all day.
I'm done. It's
yeah.
True, this, I'm sorry.
This hospital is full of it. There's so much not top shelf pussy here right now.
So this is the guy that has to pull you aside and give this you the
dude,
bad news.
He basically goes,
how's he say it?
Without saying it, he tells me, your dad's probably going to die right now. Is what he, you know what I mean?
Now.
Yeah, because I'm there and I'm visiting. Like my mom and my sister, I get them all an apartment because I know he's going to be there for a while. I get them an apartment in Rochester. And like in Rochester, it gets so cold that like.
Yeah, they say they have 3 winters there.
It's connected through tunnels.
Yeah.
Right? So that like when you, instead of like going from your apartment to the hospital, like you would just
outside,
walk over there, it's all connected.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So you take your. elevator down, and then there's just a tunnel. You never have to go outside, especially because there's so many patients there, you know? So when I visit, I'm like, I was in, I think, New York. I fly to Rochester, Minnesota. And I'm like, I'm coming to, I don't realize the shape that he's in at this time. I'm like, oh my God. And that I see like how sick he is, because it's much worse than I had imagined. And they're like, yeah, just everything that could go wrong, like you, with you, you know, in a certain, like it went, everything has gone wrong. Like he's, you know, body didn't take to the foreign, you know, entities entering, and like they rejected things, and he got septic, you know, like the worst infection you can get. Like, and then you're trying to beat an infection while somebody has a vulnerable right. system. It's like,
so let me ask you about bone marrow. Is that like,
it's delicious.
It is. I had it with you in Iowa. Where were we that night? That fucking, and he was like 14. Remember that chef came out of the bag? He's like, I don't know. I just fuck around at home. We're like, what? Remember that guy?
That was amazing. Yeah. That was that restaurant that's connected to Piedmont Steaks, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And he stayed open for you, and it was so fucking good. That's the best bone marrow I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. It was one of the best meals I've ever had.
It was Iowa, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait. Is it Iowa or was it Nebraska? Wasn't it Lincoln?
No, because I feel like, I can't remember, because I feel like Lincoln was really bad weather that night, and it was a fire in L.A., and we did Lincoln and got right the hell on the plane and got out of there. I don't know. All right. You know how it is. It's so many of them in a row. I can't remember. But But I wanted to ask you, bone marrow, do you have to be a match or anything like that, or is it just
– good question.
Is it like blood where you just have to have that type or whatever?
I don't remember. All right. I honestly don't remember. I used to know this, and it's
just
like –
I'm curious how extensive that is.
I used to know this, and it definitely has left my – my mind now. I don't remember.
The Farmer's Dog was founded by two dog lovers who decided to reimagine pet food from the ground up. In the 5 years since they delivered their first meal, the response has been incredible. The Farmer's Dog aspires to grow into the world's leading pet health and wellness brand, and they can't do that without dog lovers like you. The Farmer's Dog makes and delivers fresh, healthy dog food. It's developed by vets, nutritionally balanced, and made from real healthy ingredients to human food safety standards. It's the best option for dogs at all life stages because it's not kibble, it's not canned goods, it's just real healthy food. Traditional dry and wet dog food options are highly processed. They can use much lower quality ingredients than they claim to, and they're extremely difficult to portion accurately. Look, Princess Lily Rose loves it. Let me show you what else I like about them. Farmer's Dog's the bomb. Look, they tailor everything. This says Princess Lily Rose's chicken recipe, all right? And it's on every one of her meals. This says Princess Lily Rose's feeding guide. Everything's spelled properly. I can't get my vet to get her name right, all right? So here's the deal. Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/honeydew. Plus, you get free shipping. Just go to farmersdog.com/honeydew to get 50% off. That's farmersdog.com/honeydew. Y'all, it's time to talk about your kitchen. We all know you've been making egg sandwiches in a torn-up witch's cauldron you call a pan since college. Today's sponsor, Hexclad, has revolutionized the cookware industry with a hybrid pan that gives you all the convenience and cleanup of nonstick, the versatility of your grandma's cast iron, and they're so durable, they literally last a lifetime. We're serious. They have a lifetime warranty just in case you find a way to destroy them. Hexclad's patented laser-etched hexagonal steel ridges boost your searing power, while the nonstick valleys contain its high-grade non-toxic coating and are infused with diamond dust for extra toughness. Hexclad truly checks every single box when it comes to picking your cookware. They are metal utensil safe, they're dishwasher safe, and oven safe up to 500 degrees. They are non-toxic, induction ready, and even have a stay cool handle so you can saute with ease. Here's the other thing. I just got mine. I already seasoned them, washed them with a soap and water, put some olive oil in them for a few minutes. You cook on low medium heat on these. They're not, you don't need high heat on these pans. They heat evenly. They distribute the heat evenly. And you can also put them in the oven, too, up to 500 degrees. And I know that. They didn't say it. I know it because I read the instructions. It's time to stop ordering delivery food and start cooking like a big boy with Hexclad. Real cuisine isn't made in the microwave. It's cooked in a Hexclad. For a limited time only, my listeners get 10% off your order with my exclusive link. Just go to hexclad.com/honeydew. Support the show and check them out at hexclad.com/honeydew. Bon appetit. Let's eat with Hexclad's revolutionary cookware. There's no quick fix for anxiety and depression, all right? It's not finding a new therapist. It's not starting a new exercise routine. It's not more and regular meditation or a better diet. Sometimes you need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about and seeing the world, and maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy for MindBloom. There's a new tool to improve your mental health. It's at-home ketamine therapy. MindBloom is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy, having safely helped thousands of people overcome their anxiety and depression. Unlike traditional talk therapy, ketamine works quickly and doesn't have the unpleasant side effects of traditional antidepressants. In a study of over 1,200 MindBloom clients, 89% reported improvements in their anxiety and depression after only two sessions. Right now, MindBloom is offering my listeners $100 off your first six-session program when you sign up at mindbloom.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. Take the first step and break free from your anxiety and your depression with MindBloom. mindbloom.com/honeydew and use promo code honeydew. Now, let's get back to the dew.
Okay, so they everything's gone wrong.
That yeah, could and go that doctor, wrong. He goes.
He did what your dad did when you said, "Do you like this?" He just went.
Yeah, he was like,
"Yeah."
He goes, because my sisters were like, my younger sister and my mom, they were so in it like every day that they were like very emotional about things, and they couldn't like, they were like, "Don't lift his head up when you do that tube. He doesn't like that." And the doctor was like, looking at me, and I was like, I did the thing where I was like, of course, ignore them. Like, they don't know. They think they're telling you something. And he's like, yeah, we have to move his head. I go, no, I know. Like, just do it and don't tell them. And, because they're like, no, like, we know. And I was like, they don't know. So then I was like, so what are you going to do next? And he's like, well, he started to go like, kind of like nod. Like, I could talk to you, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, we'll do everything we can, man. Sorry. Like, it's not much. Take him down, try to do this without operating, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the message was there. It was like, I don't think this is going to go well. And I was like, okay. Shortly after, like, I'm in this, like, patient family room. I break down crying. Because I know he's about, it was like, I believe yeah. he's about to die. I cry, like, really hard. I'm with my mom. I cry really hard with her. And I was just like, I had to get back to my family. So I said goodbye. And I was like, I knew that the next call was going to be, he died. And that was like March, April, 2019. I don't know how he fucking made it out of there.
Yeah. I remember you telling me, I called and checked. You're like, he's doing a lot better. And he went back to Florida, didn't he? Like left there.
Yeah, so I flew to Rochester and flew him home.
Yeah.
I flew him home from Minnesota.
What? And it just, they can't even explain it either? Just something happened where all of a sudden?
The big problem was he had to beat this infection. Like, he had the transplant, but the transplant had so many complications.
So and once the body can beat that infection, then he can start to get stronger.
He didn't. Yeah. And was able to beat the
infection.
How
long after? They gave you the news that he's not going to probably make it here. How long?
I thought every day he was going to be dead.
Yeah.
And then the next thing they told me, I remember, was that he was out of it and like not moving like a ICU patient for like 17 days.
Jeez.
So his legs completely atrophied. Like he couldn't walk. And the fucking thing is, this was, they were like, yeah, like we found him on the floor. Like they go, this is like once he came to, like, you don't walk. So don't get up out of bed. And he's like, okay. And then he was like, I just felt like walking. So I got up and just fucking fell, and you go, but they just said, don't walk. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, okay. It's crazy. Like your parents, you're like, the fuck is wrong with you, man? They just said you can't walk. And he's like, I just felt like it. And I'm like, okay. So like ate shit, his legs gave out, but then he had to like learn to walk again. And then he's finally like recovering, because then it's like back to PT and like, you got to build up some leg strength and leg muscle. And he's finally like, I take him at the end of that year. I believe it was the end of that year. to Hawaii for New Year's. Take my parents there with my kids and everything. And starts the new year. And he's like, I'm real excited about this year. And like just getting out there and living life. It's 2020.
Oh.
So like February, March, no. They're like, stay home.
Yeah.
Especially if you're immunocompromised.
Yes.
So he spent the majority of the life he had left just like
inside with your mom.
Just with the worst punishment. Being inside with my mother.
Like he could have just gotten that car and drove anyway. He should have just driven
into the ocean. Would have been better.
Just yeah. Thelma and Louise.
Jesus. Can you imagine what a punishment that was to spend?
That's how you went out. That's terrible.
Yeah. That's terrible. He finally, towards the end of his life, he used to never say this stuff. He's like, at the end of his life, he's like, your mom's being a real bitch today.
It took him that long. He finally like, oh, okay, yeah. I'm about to be out of here.
Yeah. I was like, you just figured that out?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But it's, it sucked for him, you know.
That does suck. You're going to retire and you're going to live. Okay, you're going to live this life. All right. Yeah. Well, now that's abbreviated. All right. Okay. It's abbreviated.
Yeah.
But got at least the next couple years here. I made a recovery. Like, you do, but you don't. I'm just going to be stuck inside the whole time. Like, what?
I remember one of the last things. People ask, like, my only regret.
I want to ask. Of
course. Is that I didn't see the end coming. Like I knew that he was not in remission anymore. Obviously, it didn't last the 5 years. It only lasted a couple of years. If I could go back, I would have spent a lot more time with him in those last few months, you know? But I was like, I remember in August, September, I go to Cabo. And Christina, it's her idea. I have to give her credit. She was like, she goes, why don't you fly your dad out to be with you for a couple of days to Cabo? And I was like, I go, yeah, I like, you know, I mean, I almost didn't. It's one of those things where I was like, yeah. So I reach out to him. I go, what if I fly you to Cabo? And we just hang out here for a few days. And this is September of 21. Yeah. September of 21. And he's like, it's like late August, early September, you know, like in that range. He's like, yeah, you know, it's, you know, my mom, she's like, I don't know, you know, it's complicated. He's not that comfortable. He has to get, I go, I'll charter a flight. Like I'll send a plane to fly you from, like basically you just drive down the street. It flies you to Cabo. And then we hang out for a few days and then it'll fly you home. And he's like, really? I go, yeah. So I do that. He gets there. I'm already in Cabo. And I go, I see the car pull up and, you know, I go, how was the flight? You know, he flew on a PJ just for you. He goes, I thought it'd be bigger.
Right away. I was like, he's doesn't give a fuck what he says at this point. I wouldn't.
I was like, cool. It was neat, but I thought it'd be bigger. Yeah, like,
you know what that costs.
I was like, Jesus Christ. Neat. First thing he does is order like a double bacon cheeseburger with fries. And of course, I don't realize how far along his sickness is. I'm like, I'm about to say something about what he's eating. Cause I was like, Jesus, man. And then he's like, I'll have to fucking listen to your mom and sister give me shit about this. And he starts, I was like, all right. I was like, all right, I'll just let that go.
Yeah.
And then I think the next day I do say something. I'm like, yeah, but you know, don't you think you should like, as a recovering patient, like maybe try to mix up some healthy foods? Of course it goes, no. It's like every conversation. And it's just like, okay. So hangs out a few days, flies back. And I was like, yeah, he's not 100%, but like.
Did he get around? Was he walking and stuff fine? Yeah. No walker, no cane, or did he have a little something?
I'm trying to remember whether he was using it, because he did use a cane towards the end, but I don't think it was on that trip. I don't think it was. So yeah, we had dinners and like, we're just hanging. He just liked to like lounge around, you know? Play chess on his fucking iPad. Like he'd have like 40 games going at once. And then you know, flies back. And I was like, that was great. I was like, we really had like a good time hanging out. I fly back. The next time I believe that I see him is Thanksgiving. And I fly. We all go to Florida. And we're like, I'm at his house. And he definitely has the cane. But like he comes to Thanksgiving dinner, but he's doing shit like I got, you know, instead of like hanging out, he's like, I want to go back. And you're like, okay. But like, it's kind of in line with like an older person or a sick person who goes like, I enjoyed the meal. I'm going to go lay down. I'm like, okay. At one point he pulls me aside, me and my uncle. And he goes, just so you know, he's like, this is not going to end well. It's going to go south. And I was like, really? He goes, yeah. And you're going to have to like step up and do this. And then he tells my uncle, you're going to have to do this. And we're like, yeah. And I'm thinking like, this is what he foresees just like down the line. So this is November. It's Thanksgiving week. 1 month later, I fly.
For Christmas.
And he is in bed and is definitely dying. Like when I get to the house, I'm like unrecognizable, not speaking, really? like, you know, gasping, like face, everything is like, and this is a month. And I'm like, and my sister and mom are so like out of it. They're like, yeah, you know, we have the appointment on Monday. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, yeah, I think, you know, like, I don't know what treatment they're going to suggest. And I'm like, so thrown by it. I'm like, huh? What? Because I realized they're just so in it.
Sure.
They don't see it.
Protocol.
Yeah. It's like when somebody is in a relationship and they can't see what the other person's like, you know, they just can't see how sick he is. They're like, yeah, you know, so we'll see that guy on Monday. And then hopefully next week we'll get, and I'm like, this guy is about to die. Like I could tell. I was like, we got to go to the hospital. And they were like, what? And he's like, you know, he's like, I don't want to move. I'm like, no, you like, I mean, I'm like, we got to get him there. We go to the hospital. I think we go there and come back.
You call 911. How do you get him?
I forget because they were kind of dialed into all the people.
Right, right.
I want to say that we went there and came home and went back again, like over the course of a few days.
Oh, they let him come home and he went back again.
Because I think he didn't want to be there on Christmas, so we were home. And then I was like, you know, I remember, man, it was so sad. Like when we were in the hospital and one of the doctors was like, yeah, there's no, like, there's nothing to do. And I was like expecting that.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom and my sister were not.
Really? They still had help the whole way?
100%. 100%. They were like, what? And they're like, yeah, he's gonna die very soon. Full fucking freak out. Which is like, and like, you know.
Did that surprise you?
Kind of not. I could see how enmeshed in all of it they were and how hopeful they were. And he had bounced back from things. So they were like, he's gonna bounce back from, you know. Then they like pull up like scans and they're like, just all you see is tumors, like huge tumors everywhere. And then you just see him and you're like, this is way past like, let's try something different. And then he was doing this thing before.
How old was he?
74. He was like, they do this thing that, and they said it's very common with patients that are dying where like, they're like, all right, like pull me up. So he'd sit up in bed, put his feet over and he's like, I want to go. Like, let's go. Like, go get the car. And I was like, the doctor's like, he's going to do that like 1,000 times.
Really?
Yeah.
And they do that.
And then he's like, help me lay back down. And he'd lay back down. And then he'd be like, help me up, sit up. He's like, go get the car.
I was like, what is that all about?
He's like, it's like this, the body, he said, like the medical staff was like, it's just like the body knows it's going to die. And it's like antsy. At first, it's like
we don't want to. We don't want to.
Yeah, like they're almost like you're resisting.
Move,
yeah.
go,
fight,
go,
and go, yeah. Go, go. He's like, but it's like people who are dying do this.
Wow.
Then they have. The
Did
next,
you know that?
Never, and I had no idea. And then
like get up and let's get out of here.
Let's get out of here. He's like, and he just kept doing it. Then they have they call it the death rattle,
yeah,
which is like that lung thing. You can hear it rattling, and they're like, "Oh yeah, that's the death rattle." Then your car, then they when they measure, they can your carbon dioxide hits a certain level. They're like, "Oh, the person's no longer conscious," you know, but they're still alive. And then they're like, "That's kind of like the next state." And then they're like, "Yeah." At that point, they're like, because they would tell you like, "Probably gonna die in a couple days," "Probably gonna die in a day," and then they're like, "Any minute now." They tell you.
You, you heard that?
Oh yeah, they're like any minute.
You heard the doctors tell you your dad's about to go any minute now.
And yeah,
it was in the hospital. Wasn't at home.
Oh, it was hospital. Yeah, it was hospital. And I was like, okay. And then like,
oh, what's that like?
I mean, the Mayo Clinic visit, I was much more emotional because I was arriving and I didn't know what I was going to see, and I was shocked. Even though I was shocked to see him when I visited for Christmas, I knew that this at this point that this was a sick person who was no longer in remission, who was deteriorating. So it was less shocking. Also, that when I saw him the first time, my first thought was like, this person is dying. So when they go, "Hey, guess what? This guy's going to die." I'm like, "Yeah, I know." You know, it was much less
shocking.
You know, it's still emotional. I mean, I broke down much harder at the 2019 visit at the Mayo. The thing that broke me hard was at his funeral service, because he was a Marine.
Mm, yeah, my dad.
And they
was
play
a Navy, yeah.
The what is it? Taps. They play that and fold up the flag. I fucking broke down.
Me too, dude.
That one was
rough.
Did they
do the 21 gun salute? Listen, I'm not even joking when I say.
I feel like they did shoot.
I feel like seven dudes came out and fired three times. I don't think there were 21. I think the math added up. But I think there were seven dudes that clipped three.
I forget.
But I can't remember. I might be totally making that up. But we did get a folded flag.
Yeah,
flag. They present it to you. It's so nice.
That thing made me cry really
hard.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
That's powerful.
That taps.
Yeah.
It's just so deathly silent
how much
out
he
there.
Fucking loved the Marine Corps. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy loved the Marine Corps. He would always say this thing that now I say. If somebody was like, "Well, you know, I know you're a former Marine," he'd go, "There's no such thing as a former Marine." I was like, okay. So like he loved the Marine Corps. So like then these like Marines are there and they're saluting you and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, that fucked me up bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that shit too with my dad. So I ask you this because I woke up to my dad dead. There was no heads up. There was no
nothing
deterioration. It was just light switch.
Yeah.
Sure. But what I want to, and also at a much younger age, I was 16 when that happened. But I want to ask you this, knowing what you went through, even though it was ugly, and would you rather that or would you rather wake up to your dad's gone? No warning, no anything.
I mean,
because you're watching a man go from healthy.
It's very, very hard to watch the deterioration.
Nothing.
The deterioration is really hard. I am glad I got the time. I really do regret not. If I had obviously known what I'd known, I would have spent September and October. Like, I had no idea that it was going to be that fast. I don't know. I think you just want more time. You know, I don't know.
I can't tell you now how many times I'm 50.
Yeah.
I still think of my dad saying, "You want to run to Kmart with me?" I'm like, "Nah, I'm going to play video games."
Yeah.
And now,
yeah.
How much I would love to take that fucking ride.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
And yeah. People,
like it, like the emotional stuff, like I'll be like, "Oh, I can definitely talk about it." And I get emotional over things I don't expect.
Like what?
Well, the first one was like,
because let me just say this.
Yeah.
I got you by a lot of years.
Yeah.
And still, I'll be in the grocery store and I'll open up the freezer section. It might be a song or something and it just hit me and I'll just be like,
yeah.
Hey, what's happening? I got to get out of fucking room.
Yes.
Yeah. What's caught you by surprise?
One was that so many people have said, you know, sorry and this and that. And you're like, yeah. And I'm like, thanks so much, you know. Appreciate it. But just like one guy, so like I had a dinner one time and there was a Navy SEAL that was coming to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad was going to come to that dinner.
Oh, he was.
So I was like, "Hey, man, you got to sit next to my dad. Like, he's going to fucking lose his mind. Like, because he just loves the military, loves talking about combat. Some vets, it could be Vietnam or any type of vet, who have seen combat do not want to talk about it for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. And he was the opposite. He was like, what do you want to know? And he would go into detail about everything. It just didn't bother him. He just enjoyed it. I was like, when he fucking learns that you're a SEAL, the guy had already told me some combat things. I was like, dude, he's going to fucking lose his mind. I mean, I sat them next to each other. My dad almost didn't eat because his whole time he was like, I just watch him like,
fucking hurt.
I mean, I see him just ear to ear.
That's great.
So like, but I saw that SEAL, like 9 months later, and I'm not thinking anything of it. And all he said was like, I was really sorry to hear about your dad, man. I fucking broke because it was him.
Yeah. And it just got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy what'll get you. I'll tell you one that gets me. And I don't know if you've had this yet, because I have pictures of my dad everywhere.
Yeah.
And my daughter, I guess Stella was probably, it's going to be hard to talk about. She was young, maybe 3.
Yeah.
4 tops. And I explained to her, like, you know, when I grew up, I didn't have grandfathers either. One was, my mom's dad was already dead, and our grandfather died. We were born in 73, March. He died in November of 73. So, never, you know, didn't know him. And my daughter doesn't know my dad. So there's pictures of him, and I just tell her stories all the time. And then one night she grabs his picture and she just starts crying. I go, why are you upset? And she's like, I miss my grandfather. And I was like, let me tell you, that's not even a scenario you can fathom in your mind. Yeah. Put your kid's going to miss this person. She's never. I started crying. I was like, I do too. And then it was just a cry fest the whole time, dude.
I'll forget that he's dead in certain situations.
Like what?
Well, like, because we both, there's a couple things we both talked about incessantly.
Because what was his actual date of death? When did he pass?
29th of December.
2022?
21. Yeah.
So coming up on 2 years.
Coming up on 2 years.
And you still feel some habitual things, like you forget?
Well, what happens is, like, there's the things that we would always we talked almost every day. We had a really good relationship with him. But like certain things we would just talk more about. And it's like, you know, stupid the way we, like college football, mm-hmm. we were both, mm-hmm. man, he got me into it. And then, and like the way he would like to, a game is on and like, you know, interception taken back for like, I'm watching the game and he's watching it. He'll go, Did you see that interception? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, it was such a bad pass. And I go, yeah. And then he just hang up the phone. And I was like,
he wouldn't say anything. He just hang up.
He go, all right. Like, then hang up. I was like, but these calls would happen throughout a game.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would like always say, off. Did you see that for the game that like he knows? I'm like, yeah, of course I fucking saw. I'm watching the game, dude. So, but sometimes I would call him. I'm like, you got to put on this other game. And so sometimes I'll be watching. I'm like, oh, I got to like, I'll forget. I'm like, oh, he's, yeah. Like, I'll forget in that moment. The other big thing that we had like a huge affection with, and it like, it's of course the way the universe works. It's crazy. So my dad loved cars. He's just like an enthusiast. Mm-hmm. And it was always like articles, you know, do you see like what they came out with for this? Like, it was just something that we would always talk about. Cars, cars, cars. And so, and I loved cars, you know, and I still do. And my youngest is the most obsessed child I've ever seen. Like, I remember loving cars, and his love of cars is
really
50 times what mine is. I mean, he can identify 40 manufacturers from their logos.
Stella can do that.
It's really crazy.
She really can. And she's not into cars, but her brother is. And she'll be like,
bro,
Datsun, Toyota, everything. Subaru, Hyundai. I'm like, damn. Everything.
And then he likes to start the cars. And he's like, does it have a clutch? And then he like can do it with a clutch.
He knows about the clutch?
Yeah, dude. And then wow. Like everything, every car we see, he goes, is that a manual? I'm like, no, it's a fucking Corolla. And he's like, not a manual? I'm like, no. So every car. And so But so my dad and I, dude, the other day, I don't know what it was. I don't even tell him, but like, we were with Ellis, and there's something like Henry Ford. Fucking Christina was like, yeah, he made cars, you know? And she just goes, you can do anything. And that's it. Like, you can do anything. I started thinking about Henry Ford. I started thinking about cars. And I started thinking about my dad. And I got to, like, put sunglasses on.
It just all,
you know what I mean? It wasn't really.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
I remember that. You know what's funny is that my dad was a financial advisor. And he was always, like, pretty conservative. Like, would encourage to be financially conservative. Live below your means. You know, he would tell me, like, you shouldn't go to Starbucks so much. Mm-hmm. You know, and that adds up. And I was like, oh, okay. And one day I'm like starting to do well. And he's like, you know what you should get? And I go, what? He goes, a plane. Like, a fucking plane?
Yeah. A plane out of nowhere.
And he's like, a lot of the PGA guys have one. I'm like, the fuck are you talking about, man? And he's like, oh, you travel a lot. And I'm like, get a private, own a plane? And he's like, you should have your guys look into it. I go, I can't believe I'm fucking talking to you right now. A couple years later, you know, it was always car, right? We're talking about cars. I go, I'm really excited, I ordered a car. He's like, what are you getting? And I go, I'm getting a Porsche. And he goes, you haven't thought about a Ferrari? And I'm like, what? I go, no, I want this GT4. And he was like, oh. He's like, you should really look at Ferraris. I'm like, I think you want. And that was the truth, is that he wanted that.
Hell yeah, he did.
Yeah. The funny thing is, it sounds so crazy. I can't look, because of some of those conversations, I can't look at a Ferrari without thinking about him and sometimes crying. And people think I'm mesmerized by the car.
Yeah, you love this car. Yeah. It should be a bomb.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, man. I love this shit. And I'm just thinking about him. Yeah. Yeah.
How do you keep them alive around the home and stuff? Do you tell your kids stories?
We tell stories.
Do you have pictures up and all that? Your mom obviously visits, so you still have that presence with him and stuff.
I think we should do it more. I mean, everybody, like, you know, I mean, I like telling, like, the kids, the boys just love shit stories. So they're like, tell a poop story. And I'm like, you know who's really good at that? Your grandfather. And I'll tell them, like, when he shit his pants at the airport or on vacation, and they laugh hysterically. And they're like, does grandpa have more poop stories? Yeah. Like, yes, he does. So it sounds terrible, but that's one of the story, like the lanes of stories we tell about
him. Who cares? That's keeping him alive.
I saw him save a drowning girl. I think I've told you that before.
You did?
Yeah.
How? I don't know if I remember that.
I went on a trip with him when I was, I think it was 6 or 7. We were living in Ohio. We fly down to Orlando, and I still remember that. You ever go on a water slide where the pressure of water when you hit the water is
talking about the Derstuka?
It's so intense.
Yeah, you get the wedgie, and they tell you to cross your arms and tuck your chin.
Hit the water. I'm saying when you enter the water, what is behind you, coming on top of you, is really strong.
Yes.
So like it actually
like a
pushes
tidal
you.
Wave pushing you down. Yeah.
I mean, I went on one recently where I was like, holy shit. Like 44.
Where?
You know?
Where is that?
This was in Texas.
Yeah.
On a water slide where I was like, man, like I'm talking about the entrance into the water where you're like gasping because it pushes you down. Well, this was like not at a water park. This was like at a hotel. But I still remember that when you hit the water, that it was like a struggle to, like, it pushed you really hard down. I was on the swim team when I was a young kid. So, like, I was a pretty proficient swimmer, even at that age. But I remember being kind of scared. Like, I remember vividly being like, oh, my God.
Like, when you ever get caught in a wave and it tumbles you and you really feel like I'm never coming up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Recently, that happened to me. Yes. Yes.
It is terrifying.
It recently
you're
did
like,
happen to me. I was at the
fucking you up
I was getting in the Pacific
there.
And it was just throwing me around and I was like, I'm gonna die. Yeah. It's so scary. It's really
the
scariest.
You come up, your fucking pants are all down. I've been cut all over my chest. Like, it's just fucking
you. And people on the beach are like,
down there. Yeah, like, what the fuck happened?
They look at you and they're like,
y'all didn't see that wave right there? God damn.
They're like, why are you the only guy in there? Yeah. That's what they're right. Nobody else is swimming, you idiot.
I remember my cousin was like, oh, this Pacific's not as strong as the Atlantic. I'm like, it's way stronger. So
not even close.
You know how the Pacific, you know, when a wave crashes, you dive at the break so you can go under and through it. Well, we were doing that all day so long. The waves were so big and so powerful. It fucked our ears up.
Sure.
It gave us massive headaches. And he's like, all right, this is way stronger out here. I was like, yeah, this is where everybody fucking surfs and everything. Yeah, like, yeah, of course. No, it is.
Not close.
Not even close.
Well, I remember that pool. And the reason I make that distinction is because I remember the fear that I felt coming off that slide. And then a little while later, my dad was like looking into that pool and just sees that there's somebody at the bottom of the pool.
At the bottom? Oh, they're just down there.
They're just down there. It was a girl who had come off that slide, got pushed down by that water and was just at the bottom of the pool. He goes down, pulls her up, puts her on the side, and then everybody starts surrounding her. They start doing CPR, and then she survived. She
damn,
lived.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was cool. And then we watched Predator.
Last question. What's that?
We watched Predator in the hotel.
You remember it. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, yeah.
Attached in your brain.
And then I was like, this is wild. He's like, don't tell your mother that I let you see this. I was like, okay.
All that. Okay.
Yeah.
Last question, and we're going to get out of here. I want to know this. I think about this one actually a lot. You got 24 hours with your dad. What do you do? How do you spend it?
Good question, man. I mean, there's definitely a lot of food involved because he loved to eat, you know. I think about, like, I remember a lot of his favorite, like, he loved pancakes. So I would take that dude for pancakes for sure to start his day. He was, like, very much not into going far or doing, like, we would take father-son trips and then we'd go out. Like, you get breakfast, and he'd be like, you want to go back to the room? I'm like, we just fucking got here.
That's
like,
all he'd want to do.
Yeah, just sit in the room.
Now, and then he wanted to retire and drive everywhere.
It's very strange. Like, he also had this, like, anxiety of, like, it was always about getting back to the, like, to the home, you know? Like,
home
he was just,
safety.
Like, ready to go?
Yeah.
Ready to go back? And you're like, I mean, we just got here. And he's like, okay, check it, like. You know, like this nervous energy of like, let's just get back to where we were, the house or the hotel room. And then he's like, like, that's the only time I ever saw him like relax, in khakis and a button down shirt. That was his chill.
That's chill.
Yeah. But I think it would be that. I mean, it would probably honestly would be like watch a college football game with him. That would be super
live
fun.
Or on TV and talk or
definitely on TV.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he would be, I mean, I remember going to games with him was the worst. It's like the third quarter. He's like, you want to go? So we can
beat he I'm wants like, to leave the game. Like,
I'm
no,
like, I man, don't. It's a good game. He's like, I know, but there's cars
back to the room, like, beat the traffic.
Nah, definitely on a couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just give him like his favorite treats. Just see him enjoy the food he liked, hang out. Honestly, watch a game with him would be like, I think the best.
Did he get to meet both of your kids?
Yes.
He did get to meet them both.
He was obsessed.
Yeah.
He was obsessed. He had this picture on his phone of Ellis when he was like 6 months old. He's smiling. And over time, my mom was like, why don't you change the picture? He's like, I can't change this picture. And he would always show me. He's like, you see, I go, yeah, I remember. He's like, I got it still. I'm like, that's, you can change it. He's like, I would never change it. Okay. But yeah, he loved being a granddad.
There was only two, right?
Well, then Maria had two.
Oh, she has?
She has two.
Okay.
She has two. So he had four.
And he got to meet all four kids?
He did.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good.
He got to be with all four. Definitely loved being a granddad. I mean, that's kind of like what he wanted to do in retirement was like go between our houses and spend time with his grandkids. Yeah. It would have been the 24 hours would definitely... Yeah, I would eat it up for sure.
Yeah.
Get him a Ferrari.
Yeah, that's a good one. You could let him drive a Ferrari.
I'd be like, I rented it. Don't
fucking crash it.
Insurance is a fortune.
Yeah. Dude, thank you. Thank you for coming on. I love you.
I love you too, man.
Thank you for this. Plug whatever. whatever you want.
Yeah, you know, see me on tour, listen to the podcast. You know where to go. YMH Studios, TomSegura.com.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Anytime.
Thank you all as well. As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Come see me on tour. All tickets at RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.